Everybody good? Very cool. Hey, did you guys like that clip that they play, that act of valor thing? Hey, I want to tell you guys something. A dear friend of mine is here, he was actually the videographer, the guy who filmed the skydiving sequences in that movie. He's here. He's a Navy SEAL. He's got like 16,000 skydives or something like that. Jim, where are you at? Stand up.
Stand up.
We'll see you.
And I got to tell you something. You know, when I was playing NFL, we would have SEALs come out to practice, or the Blue Angels come to practice. And they were like, you know, wow, football players. And we were like, dude, you're the SEALs.
Yeah.
and a few years ago, I went to work out here at Coronado with some SEALs. And there was SEALs and then some staff and some women. Okay, they weren't SEALs, but they were staff women out there working out. And I'm like, okay, at least I'm good, because there's some women out here. I think I can hang. Them women were kicking my butt. And they were just because they were around y'all.
Right. Yeah, it takes all the time. There's a bunch of guys at the SEAL teams, but you have staff that's around, and they're the next level as well.
Okay.
You know, so it's great. Hey, real quick, I got some things I want to give you guys. See, I got these.
I hope you do that.
All right, cool.
All right,
so you see the shirt, that's a SEAL. Right? The cool part is if you look at the inside, that is
this will make you.
That's Osama bin Laden's compound.
Yeah!
Complete with like where he takes his garbage out.
Oh my goodness!
All right, now I'm gonna give these away, but the thing is, though, is you get one of these shirts, it doesn't fit you. I don't want like when I went to the Rock Church and this guy was there, gave me a shirt, didn't fit me, and now you have body image issues. All right, that's not. Yeah. All right, this is a small. Okay, so you little man right there in the hat, you ready? This is coming at you. There you go. Right on. And I have no idea what size this is, but there you go. If it doesn't fit you, then it'll fit her.
Okay, we got a few minutes, brother, but I want to get right into it. Tell us first, your birth and you coming into this earth was an amazing story, and that kind of sets off the rest of your life. So tell us about that.
Yeah, you look back over life and you figure out how you got somewhere, and you kind of look at all the roadblocks that could have been there to stop you along the way. And the first one was just me being born. I wasn't supposed to be. I was supposed to be aborted. And my biological mother decided to keep me and then give me up for adoption. So then I ended up raised in a little bit in the beginning. Yeah, I know, right? I won already. You know, it's kind of better than the lottery. I ended up in the foster system in Missouri, adopted by a young pastor and his wife, and raised in central Wisconsin. And, I love them. They're so awesome, my biological parents. And I go back and visit every once in a while. Like, when I was in the military, I have 2 weeks of leave. And then I'd go back to Wisconsin, from San Diego to Wisconsin. 4 days later, I'm like, Mom, Dad, love you. I'm out. Can't do it. that's how it all started. But, you know, it's like, how many of you know that it doesn't matter really kind of, God's hand's on your life. And he's going to go ahead and navigate you through things. And you do have will. You do have your own will. And you have, and God's will, being able to adhere to God's will, is the best way to get through all these obstacles. But when you're young and you're a baby, man, it's pure miracle stuff right there. When you can get to the stage of life to where now you can make your own decisions. But when you couldn't make your own decisions, somebody's got to do it for you. That's a 100% God thing, right?
Mm-hmm. You know that? So here's what we want to do today. We want to talk about the parallels between fighting in the military, or physical fighting and battles and physical war, to spiritual war. All physical war are parallels to all spiritual wars. And we want to make sure that we all understand, whether you're in the military or not, you're in a battle. And I want to read this to you in Ephesians chapter 6. As a matter of fact, if you have your Bible, turn to read Ephesians chapter 6. And we want to encourage all the people and welcome all the people in North County. And also, we want to welcome our friends from Chula Vista. Kamustaka. We're my friends from Chula Vista. Kamustaka. How y'all doing? Yes, I get it. We have some friends from Chula Vista coming here from another church. So we God bless you and welcome to the Rock. In Ephesians chapter 6. Ephesians chapter 6, verse 10, it says, "Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and put on and in the power of his might." Ephesians chapter 6, verse 11, "Put on the whole armor of God." Everyone say armor of God. that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against rulers of darkness of this age, and against spiritual hosts of wickedness in the heavenly places. Your enemies are not people. Your enemies are spirits that work through people. Matter of fact, in a few weeks, we're going to do a whole series on spiritual warfare. But when you deal with people who are against you, it's really the spirit that's influencing them, just like a spirit's influencing you. And you have to fight on a spiritual level. Okay? Love the person and understand the person. A lot of times, doesn't even know what they're doing. And then it says, verse 13, take up the whole armor of God that you may be able to withstand the evil day, in the evil day, and having done all to stand, stand therefore having girded your waist with the truth, put on the breastplate of righteousness, shod your feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace. When it says shod your feet, this Roman soldiers would wear cleats, like in a football cleats. They would have nails in the bottom of their shoes so they would have good grip when they're walking and running. Verse 16, above all, take the shield of faith with which you are able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked one. Take the helmet of salvation and the word of the Spirit, and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. Your word is a weapon. Your word is a weapon. And then it says, praying always, prayer is also a weapon, with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, being watchful to this end with all perseverance and supplication for all the saints. So here we have a Navy SEAL who is trained to fight and trained to defend and to kill when necessary. And every day you guys would have a combat motto, and that combat motto is three words, and that's going to be the structure of our lesson today.
That's right.
So tell us about that combat motto.
It's three simple words: shoot, move, and communicate. Everybody say shoot, move, and communicate. All right, now, you have to have all three of those things to be able to win if you're confronted by the enemy. And what we're going to do today is we're going to draw the parallel between that and what happens in your everyday life. So this is practical stuff. This is stuff that you can walk out that door with and you can immediately apply to your life, whether you're in the military or not. If you're in the military, you're going to understand these principles probably in the natural, because this isn't just Navy SEAL stuff. I was speaking a couple weeks ago to this. It's like a teleconference thing, and I'm actually doing a surveillance at the time. So I got like binoculars up, got my iPad up, got my notes, got my Bible, and I'm got my preacher finger up, and I'm going to town, and I'm looking at it through binoculars. And they had no idea what I was doing. But after a while, when I talk to you guys, I get feedback. But when you're doing on a teleconference, you can't. And these guys, a guy came back, a general, and he said, during the question and answer period, he said, you know, we had the same thing in Vietnam. Shoot, move, and communicate. It's what we needed to do to be able to succeed. Let's start with the first one. Let's start with shoot. To shoot, first of all, a firefight is two enemy bodies. They're enemies to one another, firing bullets at each other with the ill intention to kill the other, to kill the bad guys. So whoever is, to kill the enemy, to kill the other side. Well, a lot of people don't understand that not everybody has the ability to pull the trigger in the natural, all right? If you're in a situation where you've got to go ahead and eliminate an enemy, whether it be put yourself in any kind of war scenario, and again, we're not here to glorify war. We're here just saying that war happens. It's how it is. Spiritual warfare happens. So take the natural side of it, and let's apply it to the supernatural side of it, right? Let's take God's super, apply it to the natural of war. When you have the ability to pull the trigger, it really does greatly increase your chance of survival and success in a firefight. Would you agree? Okay. Well, if not everybody understands that, not everybody has the ability to pull the trigger in the natural. Put yourself in that situation. Would you be able to pull the trigger if you had to save your life of a family member, or whatever? It's very, very hard. Not just pull a trigger, but just take another life. A lot of people can't do that. There's actually psychological studies done on that, and a lot of people understand now that they may not be that. In fact, there's a small percentage of people can actually do that. I read a study at one time where they took they did a study on how long a war should have taken between two battling entities that were launching lead at each other back, I think it was the Prussian War, average target being 6 feet high and 200 feet wide, which is about the length and the width, the height, 6 feet, man, and then 200 feet wide of enemy bodies standing there at, facing each other down. To load the musket, shoulder it, and fire, it should have, that the entire battle and exchange should have taken less than 2.5 minutes before there was nobody left on the other side, on one side or the other, and the majority of people on both sides would have been wiped out. Yet these people sat there and volleyed back and forth for 45 minutes until they just, they decided they ran out of bullets and they just stopped fighting, and they had amazingly few casualties. And when they talked to the guys afterwards, some of the guys were saying that they were intentionally firing into the ground, intentionally firing over the heads of the enemy. That does not make for effective warfare, would you agree? See, here's the thing, is that if you're effective in warfare, this is what you got to be able to do. You got to be able to say, that's the enemy, that, and I understand their battle plans to be able to take me down. His battle plan hasn't changed in 2,000 years, ever since he got kicked out of heaven. And what he does is he creates a counterfeit to what God has created, which is good. And every time he's going to create that counterfeit, he's going to sit there and he's going to throw that counterfeit at you. And you got to be able to battle it. And that's when Pastor Miles was just reading that service, that scripture a second ago, to be able to put on the full armor of God. You have the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. It's in your belt of truth. To be able to pull that out, wield it effectively, means that when you are taking enemy fire, to be able to stand up and come against the enemy and say, I am above and not beneath, because the word of God says I am. I am the first and not the last, because the word of God says I am. I am the head and not the tail. I am more than a conqueror. Mm-hmm. I am, and to be able to sling these things, because when the enemy hears that, he has no choice but mm-hmm. to go ahead and vacate the premises.
So look at your lesson plan right now. This word right in the first one. The first fill-in, shoot only to deliver effective fire. And what does that mean? Is that means that every single day you have to make a choice that you are going to use the sword of the Spirit. The Bible says the word of God is a two-edged sword. It's a weapon, and you are in a battle. And I want to ask you hypothetically, how many of you are in a battle, in your battle that you're in, and you don't pray? You don't use the word of God to guide and direct your thoughts. You don't use the word of God to guide and direct what you say. You don't say the word of God. You don't pray for people. You don't ask God's advice on what you should go right or left. You just do what you want to do. How many of you saw the thing in the newspaper about us and didn't pray for us? Because we got bombs dropping on us. Personally, individually, corporately, getting cursed out in the community because of lies in the newspaper. Lies on television, lies on the radio. It's all a lie. But that's the enemy. Okay? And so are you praying for us? Are you using the weapon God gave you? Now, if Bram's down there getting people shooting on him, and he's got his buddy next to him, and his buddy's not shooting his gun, he's like, brother, how come you ain't defending me? I can't. Well, that's the same with Christian brothers. You got Christians around you, but they ain't defending you. They're not praying for you. They're not encouraging you. They're not speaking up. Why? They're scared for some reason. You don't want to be that person. You want to be able to pull the trigger and use this word. Amen? When someone curses you, you want to be able to pull the trigger and say, listen, I'm going to pray for you. Okay? That's shoot. Number two, let's go to the next one.
Move. The second one is move. You have to be able to move effectively. Would you agree? If you're going to be able to shoot, you got to be able to move. Standing in one spot and shoot. Eventually, they're going to get a fix on where you are, and they're going to be able to bring in some kind of effective fire on your position. So you got to be able to move. It'll be laterally, forward, back, however it is that you got to do to be able to protect yourself. Now, I remember when I was going through SEAL training, I was the slowest runner in my buds class. Hands down, slowest runner. The next day, I was the second fastest runner because I had somebody explain to me about what I needed to do to be an effective mover. I was about 200 yards behind my class. We're just running down the beach. And soft sand, you know, one step forward, two steps back theory takes firm effect on that. And I'm running behind the class. I'm just barely trying to hold it together. And an instructor came up, ran up right next to me, looked at me and says, how old are you, Bramstead? And I said, 20. 20. Bramstead, 20. Bramstead, 20. And he kept saying that over and over and over again. Then he goes, how much do you weigh? I said, 160 pounds, whatever I was at the time. Bramstead, 20, 160 pounds. Bramstead, 20, 160 pounds. He's running next to me, and he keeps saying these things. I'm like, what is he doing? Later, I figured out what he was doing was he was speaking out loud and reminding me why it is that I should be able to move, why I should be able to run. Well, he said, he basically told me, and I'll make this one fast, but he just said, hey, I'm going to eliminate from you the your ability to make this, to live in mediocrity. You're going to be an excellence, whether you like it or not. Get on my hip, and just we're going to run. You don't have to do anything except stay with me, and trust me, you do not want to fall behind me. So we caught up to the class, and I was like, oh, well, cool. Well, you know, he brought me up to the class. I'm going to stop. He kept on going. He goes, no, we're not done. Stay on me. We went by the class. And then he started getting faster. We went up around the obstacle course. We hung a left, went down by the water, hung a right, and we were now in a dead sprint all the way back to the training compound. And when we got down there, I mean, at the very end, we're probably at about a 5:36-minute pace. I mean, for me on sand, that was a dead sprint, and it was probably 50 yards all I had in me, but this is after 5 miles. And I had, without me knowing it, I had thrown up all over me, lost a bunch of other body functions. So I'll keep it, you know, whatever. And he turned around and he grabbed me right in the middle of all the mess in front of me. And he grabbed me, pulled me in forehead, and he said, never forget today, for the today the governor has been removed. And my dad, having a mechanical background, I knew what a governor was. And for those of you that don't, a governor is what limits the speed of your vehicle. It limits the speed of your movement. And so I sat there in recalibration mode for a few minutes as the rest of the class caught up. And the next day we went out and ran, and I was at the front of the pack because I got it. I had learned how to be an effective mover. The thing is that it's in the name. Hearing him say my name with the reasons why I should be faster at the running thing. And so when I look at this whole thing, how many of you go on walks with your loved ones? Put your arm around her, you know, you're walking down the street, or say you're not. She can walk at her pace, you can walk at yours. Guys, you can hold her hand. Now what happens is your pace is a little bit more the same. But if you put your arm around her and you pull her in tight as you're walking, your gait's going to match up. Your speed's going to be perfectly the same. Because your gait's not matched up, you guys are going to, you can look like whack-a-mole walking down the street, you know. So you have your arm around her, and your gait's going to match up. And then you're going to be going the same pace, same direction. If she moves an inch to the right, an inch to the left, you're going to know it. You're going to know it. And the thing is, though, is that you have to have this type of relationship with God. This is what God wants with you. Mm-hmm. He wants to have that relationship with you so that you know when he moves, when he stops. Sometimes the hardest thing to do is to be able to be mm-hmm. still and know, mm-hmm. to wait on God.
So look at number two in your notes. Move with the intent to fulfill the mission. And I'm going to read a verse to you. Micah 6:8. It says, he has shown you, O man, what is good, and what does the Lord require of you? To love mercy and to walk humbly with your God. It's one thing to be able to pull the trigger and quote a verse. I know a lot of Christians that will quote verses, but they ain't quoting them at the leading of the Holy Spirit. Moving is saying, Lord, I'm going to allow you to guide and direct me when to go right, when to go left, when to stop, when to speak, what to say, how to say it, what to do, how to do it. I'm not doing it in my own strength. I'm not doing it in my own wisdom. I'm not doing it with my own might. I'm moving at your guiding. I'm walking humbly before you every single day before you even get out of bed. I do this every day before I get out of bed. I wake up, and I never jump out of bed. One reason, because I don't want to get out of bed. I mean, I love my bed. But before I get out of bed, I start praying, and I say, okay, God, I'm surrendering my day to you. I'm not putting my feet on that floor, and I'm letting you go ahead of me. I'm going to let you, your peace rest on me before I get up. Because a lot of times I get up, and the devil's stressing me out as soon as I wake up. I'm saying, Lord, just get that out of me. I'm giving this day to you, and I'm going to let you guide and direct what I do today. And so not only do we have to know how to pull the trigger, know how to act, we have to move by the leading of the Holy Spirit and walking humbly before God. God told Abraham in Genesis, walk before me and be blameless. In other words, I want you to go ahead. I'm watching you. Don't mess up. Do what I say. And if we did that every single day, oh, your life would be different. Instead of coming to church for an hour and 10 minutes and then going about your business until next week or 2 weeks later when you don't come because you're not going to come next week. But you're going to come every week and you're going to walk with God every minute, every day. Okay, so we got shoot. Everyone say shoot.
Shoot.
Say move.
Move.
And the last one is communicate.
Okay, communicate. Now, before we get into communicate, I want to explain the fatal funnel. Mm-hmm. All right? So the fatal funnel is if you have an enemy there, one there, an enemy there, and an enemy there. 150-pound guy with a small gun shooting at you there, one there, and one there. And now this shape right here, it's kind of a funnel shape. That's called the fatal funnel. Okay? So anything in there is really in danger of being hit by fire of some sort, either going or coming. Now, here's the thing. You might be out of bullets. Okay, so shoot is no longer in play. Out of bullets. If I asked 100 people, can you win a firefight if you don't have bullets, 99 of them, who probably don't understand warfare a whole lot, would say no. One of them would say yes. I had you say it because you're one of those one. You guys are one. All right? Now, if I took move, now you've gotten your legs shot out from underneath you. Your mobility is no longer there. You can't take your car and go. You can't get in a vehicle and get out of the area. And you're hunkered down behind a rock. Remember, no bullets. And you just got a rock between you and all of these things shooting at you. Can you still win a firefight? I ask 100 people. 99 of them will say no. One of them will say yes. And here's why. You're getting fired at from this side, right here. You're getting shot at from your finances. Not enough money in the bank for the things that you have to cover. You have your health. You're battling cancer. You have a family member battling cancer. You have, you know, your church is under attack. Your church is under attack. And is that okay with you? It's not. And it's got you down behind a rock because you wish there's something you could do. And there is. Watch this. Then you have this one firing at you. It's your career. It seems like things aren't going right at work. You're getting attacked at every single aspect of life, and you're sitting there trying to figure out, how am I going to get through this? Well, you have one thing yet. You have communicate, which is you pick up the radio, and then you call in the fast movers who come in and drop a very large 500-pound problem solution situation on a bunch of very small 155-pound problems shooting little tiny guns at you. And that's when you get on that radio and you start telling your God, you're saying, hey, look, you know, this is where I'm at. This is my location. This is where I am. And the guys in the jet say, yep, we see you. Of course we know where you are. God says, I know where you are. I see you. I've been watching you. I've been waiting for this moment. And now we're here. I'm going to call in. I'm coming in. And then, if any of you have ever been in the military and been close to a very large explosion, there's a lot of power in that. I've been a little too close to a few explosions. Hasn't affected me a bit. And when that happens, that shockwave that hits you, it gives you the chills, like, oh. And when that happens, God comes in and drops that 500-pound bomb, all of a sudden the solutions begin to happen in your life because you've all of a sudden you say, no, you know what, God, I can't do this. It is beyond me. I can't handle it. My children are out of whack. My life seems to be going sideways. My wife doesn't, there's something going on between my wife and I. I can't put my finger on it. My career, my health, all these things are coming down. Pick up the radio.
Number three, communicate. Jeremiah 33:3. Here's what God says to you, and this is a challenge for every single one of us in here, because I got to believe all of y'all can benefit from this very simple challenge from God. It's a request. Call to me. Everyone say, call to me. Here's what God says. Call to me, and I will tell you and show you great and mighty things that you do not know. I want you to think about this right now. How many of you would have a great and mighty thing you need to know right now? You do. And by the way, God got a whole bunch of things he can tell you that you don't know. And by the way, that you will never know unless he tells it to you. There are things about you that you'll never know unless God shows you. There are things about your family, your friends, your job, your future. Nobody can tell you your future but God. People can guess all they want. But only God can tell you definitively what's going to happen and or give you advice based on what's really going to happen. But often we don't call to God. We try to do it in our own strength. We listen to other people's opinion. We look at the news. We look at the newspaper. We look at Oprah. And all that stuff is great and fine. But what does God say? And as the enemy's blowing you up with vain imaginations, putting stuff in your head, people's talking to you, telling you all the stuff's going to happen, while all that's happening, you can say, okay, God, I'm getting all this fire on me, and I don't have any more strength. I can't take it anymore. Trust me, we get days when we can't take it anymore. We pray. God's like, I got you. And all of a sudden you hear, ba-boom. And so my challenge to you, before, and we're going to pray here in a minute, there's some of you, you need to cry out to God today, and you need to stop trying to do life on your own. Some of you need Christ to forgive you as your Savior. He needs to forgive you of your sin and become your Savior. Some of you just have burdens that are just too big to carry, and God's saying, come to me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, because I am gentle and lowly in spirit. My yoke is easy and my burden is light. That's what God's saying to you. And so I want to encourage you to let the burden go and grab onto God. Because the battle against the spiritual forces of wickedness, we cannot fight and win on our own. You can't. You can't. So I'm going to ask all of you right here, right in North County, wherever you are online, just bow your heads and close your eyes. And I want you to listen very carefully. The Bible says that all of us are sinners, and that means by nature we want to do what we want to do. That means because we're sinners, we're going to die and go to hell. The Bible says the penalty of our sin is death. The Bible says that the devil is like a roaring lion walking around the earth looking to whom he may devour. But the Bible says that Jesus Christ died and rose from the dead for our sin, and that he loves us. And that if you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart God raised him from the dead, you'll be saved. Jesus says, come to me, all you who labor and heavy laden and you are burdened, come to me and I will give you rest. Jesus says, come to me. He says, call me and I will answer you and tell you great and mighty things you don't know. So as you sit there, as you listen in North County, as you listen on your computer, wherever you are, your phone, if you want to come to the Lord and you want to answer his invitation for a relationship, I want you to pray this prayer with me in the privacy of your heart. Pray, dear God, I know that you know who I am, and I believe you love me. I believe you can save me. I believe you can deliver me from my battles. I believe you can set me free from what I'm enslaved to. Jesus, please forgive me of my sin. Come live in my heart and be my Savior. I lay my life down at your feet. Thank you, Lord. As our eyes are closed and our heads are bowed, in a minute I'm going to ask you to stand up if you prayed that prayer. If you're in the North County, we're going to ask you to stand there as well, and there's somebody there who will pray with you. But God has given you an opportunity right now to surrender to him your battle, your fight, your burden. Vengeance is mine, says the Lord, not us. That's not our job. Our job is to walk humbly before our God. So right now, if you want to surrender your burdens to God, your sin to God, I'm going to ask you, eyes closed, heads bowed, to stand to your feet. Wherever you are, just stand to your feet and acknowledge your prayer, acknowledge your surrender to God. Stand to your feet. God bless you. God bless you. God bless you.